Welcome to our collective nightmare, where we sift through the ashes of human decency and pretend there's a glimmer of hope in the rubble. Today's tale from the Theater of Absurdity brings us to Ukraine, where the concept of peace is being redefined by our very own President Donald Trump. In a move that can only be described as throwing a drowning man an anchor, Trump has decided to push for peace talks between the US and Russia without inviting Ukraine. Because why would you include the country actually being invaded? Ukraine's European allies are left scratching their heads, trying to comprehend this new diplomatic strategy that resembles more of a high-stakes poker game than any attempt at genuine resolution. Meanwhile, Ukraine continues to bleed land, 11% since 2022 alone. It's like watching someone steal your car while you're still making payments on it. The United States, once seen as Ukraine's knight in shining armor with $95 billion in aid, now dangles support like a carrot on a stick. But this carrot comes with strings attached. Trump wants rare earth minerals in return. It's transactional diplomacy at its finest, turning humanitarian aid into a pawnshop negotiation. As if things couldn't get bleaker, USAID activity has been suspended under Trump's administration. Ukrainian NGOs are shutting down suicide helplines because nothing says we care like pulling the plug on mental health support in a war zone. And let's not forget about the millions displaced, 6.3 million refugees scattered across Europe like confetti from hell's party cannon. Over 1 million each in Germany and Poland alone. Another 1.2 million have found themselves seeking refuge in none other than Russia. A cruel twist of fate if there ever was one, over 40,000 civilians have become casualties in this nightmare carnival, with explosive weapons ensuring that even those who survive carry scars deeper than flesh wounds. This surreal landscape is brought to you by leaders playing chess with human lives as pawns, where winning means losing less than everyone else. Welcome to reality, America-style diplomacy where compassion takes a backseat to mineral rights and quick solutions leave lasting damage.
All right, folks, let's talk about the latest earth-shattering event in the world of cable news. Joy Reid is leaving her primetime slot on MSNBC. I know, right? It's like someone just told a room full of white people that their favorite artisanal cheese shop is closing down. Rebecca Kutler, MSNBC's new president, has decided to shake things up by replacing The Readout with co-hosts from The Weeknd. Because when your viewership increases by 35% on weekends, naturally you think, hey, let's confuse everyone and move them to a completely different time. It's like when you find out your favorite brunch spot now only serves dinner. Because who doesn't love Eggs Benedict at 8 p.m.? Now, MSNBC's progressive roots are still intact even with Donald Trump back in office. And listen to this. Their viewership is up 77% during primetime hours. I guess nothing gets liberals tuning in faster than having their political arch nemesis back in the White House. Who knew outrage was such a great ratings booster? But don't worry, Jen Psaki might swoop into the coveted 9 p.m. slot. Because if there's one thing people crave after a long day of work, it's more press briefings but without any actual government accountability. And then there's Alex Wagner stepping aside for special assignments, because nothing says special like being moved around more often than your average IKEA furniture piece. Meanwhile, Rebecca Kutler is steering this ship through what she calls not normal times. Translation: when you're tasked with keeping liberal America entertained while they clutch their kombucha and organic kale chips as Trump tweets his latest policy via all caps. So there you have it. The thrilling saga of cable news musical chairs, where everyone's just hoping they don't end up standing when the music stops. But hey, as long as we keep getting our daily dose of political drama and punditry with a side of righteous indignation, well, everything's gonna be all right.
Ah, the sweet smell of democracy in action. Like a bouquet of pipe bomb threats and political intimidation. In Washington, D.C., where the principal's first summit dared to provide an alternative voice to the Trump-aligned CPAC, our brave truth-seekers found themselves rudely interrupted by an email promising death and destruction, because nothing says freedom of speech quite like anonymous threats against those who dare criticize President Donald Trump. The summit speakers, a veritable who's who of individuals not on Trump's Christmas card list, were treated to the thrilling prospect of explosive devices at their conference venue and in personal mailboxes. The email's author, clearly a fan of subtlety, claimed this was all in honor of the J6 hostages recently set free. One can only assume they mean those fine patriots who took part in that spirited tour of the Capitol back in 2021. Naturally, organizers responded with increased security measures, not out of fear, mind you, but because it's always good practice when Enrique Tarrio shows up uninvited. Tarrio, fresh off his presidential pardon for seditious conspiracy, because why not, decided to grace the event with his presence. He confronted former officers Fanon and Dunn, calling them cowards. A rich accusation from someone whose bravery comes with a full pardon guarantee. Meanwhile, other attendees like Chris Christie and Adam Kinzinger were also threatened. Because, what's a political gathering without a little shared peril? But don't worry, law enforcement assures us these threats were unfounded. Just another day in paradise, as we march ever forward into our bright future, where dissent is met with paranoia rather than debate. And let's not forget Tarrio's brief brush with justice outside the US Capitol, after allegedly assaulting a protester. Though he insists it was self-defense against an aggressive cell phone attack, one can't help but admire his confidence that charges will be dropped. After all, when you've got friends in high places, or at least one very high office, what's a minor legal scuffle? So here we are. A land where pardoned insurrectionists roam free and critics dodge imaginary bombs while being labeled traitors by those who've redefined patriotism as loyalty to one man above all else. Truly inspiring times for anyone keeping score on how quickly we can transform democratic discourse into dystopian farce, all under the watchful eye of President Trump 2.0.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder life's great mysteries, like why humans insist on creating political systems that resemble a never-ending episode of a soap opera. Today, we're talking about the recent German elections as reported by CNN, which have left us all asking, what is the meaning of democracy when your choices seem like picking between two equally baffling flavors of existential dread? Picture this. Germany's center-right Christian Democratic Union, CDU, celebrates its return to power, while the far-right Alternative for Germany, AfD, cheers its unprecedented rise. It's like watching two rival bands at a Battle of the Bands concert, except instead of music, they're playing tunes on immigration policies and economic strategies. And much like any good concert, there's always that one guy in the crowd yelling for Freibird, or in this case, independence from the United States. Friedrich Merz, who's about to become Germany's new chancellor without ever having held a government role before. A bit like getting promoted to CEO after only managing your fantasy football team, has declared his victory with an enthusiasm usually reserved for discovering an extra fry at the bottom of your fast food bag. His first order of business, to achieve independence from America and strengthen Europe. Because nothing says unity quite like distancing yourself from your friends during a global crisis. Meanwhile, over at AfD headquarters, they're celebrating their newfound political clout with fervor usually seen at sporting events or Black Friday sales. The party has nearly doubled its support despite, or perhaps because of, its controversial stances on immigration. They're calling for re-migration, which sounds suspiciously like trying to put toothpaste back into the tube but with people. And let's not forget Olaf Scholz's Social Democratic Party, SPD, who are now pondering their existence after slipping into third place. It's a bit like realizing you've been demoted from lead singer to backup dancer in your own band. Of course, coalition talks loom ahead because no single party can govern alone in Germany's political landscape. A system designed presumably by someone who thought herding cats would be too easy. The CDU might need to join forces with either SPD or possibly even the Greens. It's essentially speed dating but with policies instead of awkward small talk. As we watch these political machinations unfold across Europe's biggest economy, it raises some quintessential questions. Is politics just an elaborate dance where everyone pretends they know what they're doing? Are we all just players in this absurd theater called life? And most importantly, does anyone actually know how long these coalition negotiations will take? In conclusion, dear listeners, let us remember that while politicians may come and go, and sometimes return more times than your favorite sitcom characters, the real question remains, why do we keep tuning into this existential drama, hoping for different plot twists? Perhaps it's because deep down inside our chaotic human hearts lies an eternal hope that maybe next season will finally make sense. Or maybe we're just suckers for cliffhangers.
In the relentless pursuit of profit, Apple unveils its newest creation, the iPhone 16e, a budget phone in name only, priced at a staggering $599, a far cry from its predecessor's modest $429 tag. This latest offering is yet another testament to society's slavish devotion to consumerism, where even the so-called budget options are inflated with the hot air of corporate greed. The decision to abandon the SE branding is a calculated move, an illusion of novelty meant to lure in unsuspecting customers who believe they're getting something new and exciting. But this isn't innovation. It's a recycled strategy from yesteryear, dressed up with a larger screen and slightly improved battery life, an echo of the iPhone XR playbook that once fooled us all. Despite lukewarm reception for past budget models like the iPhone SE and Mini, Apple perseveres in its quest to diversify its lineup. It's not about meeting consumer needs, but rather about expanding market share at any cost. The iPhone 16e is poised as a gateway drug for those teetering on the edge of brand loyalty, a siren call to Android users and secondhand shoppers who might otherwise escape Apple's grasp. Yet here lies the paradox. Priced just shy of $600, this affordable phone presents an entry barrier that mocks its intended audience. In a world where some Android phones cost less than half as much, one must wonder if Apple has truly lost touch with reality, or if it simply revels in testing how far it can push consumers into financial submission. The company's ambitions stretch beyond mere hardware sales. This device is also a vessel for Apple intelligence, a strategic move to entrench its AI tools into every facet of daily life. As competitors like Google and Microsoft advance their own AI agendas, Apple must ensure its technology permeates even lower-income demographics. Because when everyone wields your software ecosystem, you've effectively secured your empire against rivals. Analysts speculate over whether this gamble will pay off or cannibalize sales from pricier models, the Pro Max cash cows that keep Wall Street fat and happy. Yet such concerns seem trivial when viewed through the lens of unchecked capitalism, a system wherein each gadget becomes another cog in an ever-spinning wheel, designed solely for profit maximization. In releasing this so-called budget phone at such an audacious price point, while simultaneously stripping away beloved features from previous models under thinly veiled pretenses, it becomes clear we are witnessing not merely product evolution, but rather symptomatology, indicative of systemic collapse driven by insatiable greed masquerading as progress.